Welcome to Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. We're back in the studio with our special guests, Jessica and Catherine, and also Beth and Janelle and Miss Tara and myself, Sandy. And we were in Luke 14 last time, and you know, we just learned that Jesus is so intentional in whatever he does and whatever stories he's telling us so that we can have those profound lessons that he puts there in his word. Today we're going to go on and continue in Luke 14, and we are going to talk about...
We're going to go into...
Some parables. I'm looking at my notes, and I'm
Sandy
not doing a good job.
She went for a long pause there. It's like, where was I? you know, last week, I think the thing that was my most impact, and this is just how God's word works, and that was that when we're used by man... we can be blessed by God, and that we don't need to worry about that, taking it from the perspective of the man with fluids. I love the fact that Jesus is intentional. I love the fact that even when man comes to test, he's still intentional in trying to help them become who they're called out to be. So the intentionality continues, because when Jesus was there and he was sitting with them in Luke 7 through, I think it's going to be verse 14, He noticed things about the people as they were coming into the banquet. So he now begins the process of teaching them some lessons that they need to have. And so he begins this parable, and he tells it to those that are invited. And then he will take a section. It's like there's two sections to this parable. One section is to the ones that were invited to attend, and then the other section is going to be about focusing on those that did the invitation, because both of them have something to learn. It's not just the host, but it's the attendees. Both of them have something. And this is what Jesus said. He said, I noticed that when you're invited by someone to a wedding banquet, you shouldn't recline at the best place, because a more distinguished person could have been invited by the host. And so if you go and you sit in the best place, if the host comes and he moves you, it's going to be to your humiliation. But when you're invited, what you should do is you need to go to the lowest place of the room. And then your friend will come over and say, hey, you shouldn't be sitting here, and will move you to the forefront, to the better place. And then all of a sudden, you will be exalted in front of everybody in the room. But then he looked at the ones that did the invitation, and he said, and when you give a lunch or a banquet, and he said, don't invite friends and brothers and relatives and rich neighbors, because that's the reward you're going to receive, is because they'll invite you back. But what you really should be doing is invite those that are poor and blind and lame, and they can't pay you back. And then your reward's going to come from the time of when resurrection righteousness happens. May God honor the telling of his parables. So if you take this parable, we could break it into two parts. There's two groups, two lessons, those that are attenders and those that are inviters. And so what I want us to do is we're going to go through and we're going to look at the lessons he wanted the attenders to learn, and then let's look at the lessons he wanted the inviters to learn, and we'll go into other things. So what did he want the attenders to get? What did he want the people attending the banquet to understand?
They need a lesson in humility. But it's not false humility. It's actually being willing to associate with the lowest and being satisfied with that. Because it's possible that you could sit at the lowest position and your host will not elevate you, that you'll just sit there. That has to be a reality.
Right.
But yeah, being able to be okay with that.
Yeah. Okay.
Being content in your circumstances.
Okay. Like good. That. Good. Catherine?
Correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems like he doesn't rebuke them for, I guess, wanting honor. He kind of shows them the correct way of doing it, which is through humility. He doesn't say, oh, no, you should never want that or desire it. But he's like, okay, this is how you do it God's way, by being humble.
Exactly.
That's good.
Exactly. That's a good definition for the difference between reputation and character. If our focus is on our reputation, we'll be the one fighting to be in the forefront, to have the attention on us. But if our focus is on our character, it's going to be about those that are in the room and allowing others to be elevated. And what happens in God's eyes, that when we do that, we're actually, character-wise, we are elevated.
Mm.
Yeah. Did you have anything, Sandy? No? No? Who was going to say something?
I've probably said this like 1,000 times on the radio, but it's one of my favorite quotes. It's C.S. Lewis's quote on humility. It's true humility is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less, thinking of others more. Mm-hmm. It's not focusing on yourself, but focusing on others, exalting other people.
Mm-hmm. You know, and also when it said at the end, the repaying, invite those that do not repay. That's just God, unconditional love. You know, Jesus gives us that, and we are supposed to do what Jesus does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. As far as the definition of humility as well, for a long time, and I didn't know who the person was, and I Googled, and the farthest back person I can find that quoted it was Andrew Murray. So I'm thinking he's the person that originated this one, but I can't say for certain. It's been quoted by so many, and they don't ever give the source for it. Mm-hmm. That true humility is having an estimate of both your strengths and your weaknesses, and knowing them well enough to know when to use and when to have somebody else help. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's recognizing both the good and the bad.
It's being honest with yourself.
Right, yeah. And with God and with those around you.
Yeah.
And so here, if you can imagine, let's do a visual picturization of this banquet. Jesus has been invited, and they're coming in. And they have this long table, and the way they would sit at the table is they would recline. There would be pillows going around the table. And if they had a chair or a place of honor, that seat, it was really a weird word. I just saw it for the first time. It was called a triclinium, which is considered a three-seat couch or a three-seat position at the table. And so, like, if it was at the end of the table, it would be big enough that three people could sit at the end. And that was like the position of honor. And so it would be at the right or at the front, however they had it laid out. The middle seat was the highest honor. And then the position on the right was next, and then the position on the left. Mm-hmm. That's the reason why the Sons of Thunder wanted to be at the right hand, okay? Mm-hmm. It helps you to get. But they actually had a thing that was called a triclinium, a piece of furniture or at the end of a table, which I thought, okay, that's interesting. And so they're coming in, and he's trying to show them they've made some bad choices. They come in, and they're fighting over who's going to get that seat. I mean, literally, like, before it's time to be seated, typically, you know, I know in American tradition, in America, in some homes, it is nobody sits until mom sits, because mom has prepared the meal, and when mom sits, then the family will sit. But I think America has lost that tradition. They would also wait until mom began the process of, you know, the meal, and then the family would begin, because she's preparing, she'd be the last one, and so they're waiting for her to get positioned. Mm-hmm. Some traditions in America, it's all about the father. When the father sits and the father begins, then the family begins. And so it just depends culturally which one you've come to. Mm. They're clamoring to get to these seats. They're literally, like, if you can visualize, maybe pushing, maybe trying to position themselves well so that when it's time to seat, they can just quickly shift in. You know, if you could have seen me here, I just made Beth laugh because of what I actually shifted in my seat here in the radio station. Finally, you had the visuals. And so they're fighting over it and trying to get there. And so he's really wanting them to understand. He's watched and observed. This is something that needs to happen. Now, somebody could say, you're judging me, because he's correcting them. But the reality is that if we are doing something that we need correction on, that's the only way we're going to know is if somebody tells us. Mm-hmm. It's not a spirit of judgment. Right. It's a spirit of, this is what needs to happen so that you can become the next level of who you're supposed to be, that you're not stuck where you're at. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I found some stuff. I would like for us to do some negatives and some positives. Let's take out, if we could, the things that Jesus stated that were negative. He actually says, you know, do not, you know, things along those lines. What does Jesus say negative-wise? Think through the story. Should they take the first and best seat?
No.
Okay, so do not sit in the place of honor by your choice.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You're not the one that should choose that. Okay. when let's talk about the invitees, the people, the hosts that are inviting people. He tells them, do not, what does he tell them?
Do not invite your friends, your relatives. Right. Yep. Invite somebody that cannot repay you.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. All right, let's do the positive. And I'd like for us to take some of the positive, if we could, from what we did from last segment as well. What is something positive he told them that they should do in our last radio segment we did last week? What would you say? Something positive. What are they supposed to do on the Sabbath?
Do good.
Yeah, help others. If someone needs help, we help them.
We help them, yes.
Okay. On the flip side of do not choose the best seat, what's the positive that they should do?
Choose the lowest.
Mm-hmm. Choose the lower lowest. Seat. Okay. Or wait to be seated. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
That way you know.
Right. Exactly. You don't just wait and somebody will wait and see if there's an empty seat and then something will happen. I have a really good friend that she's in a circumstance and was really disappointed because of as the leader, she had to make some hard choices. And so that meant that she was going to be in the position of the hardest position of in relationship with the people going on a team. And but she, because she's the leader, she chose to take the lowest position because that's what she was supposed to do. As things unfolded, she's been honored through this. And now God's blessing her and that the circumstances have changed. And now she's being blessed with someone that's going to be seated with her that actually blesses her. And she chose from the get-go the most humble position as she was preparing. And yet God elevated her. And I mean, just a sweet blessing. So it's almost like I've watched that visually occur in somebody's life right now. And so as I was preparing this, I just couldn't stop thinking about it. Okay, so we've seen the positive, we've seen the negative. What about with the invitees? What are they not supposed to do? I mean, give me the positive. What are they supposed to do? Who are they supposed to invite?
The lowly.
The lowly. The blind, the blind, the lame.
The poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind.
Yeah. Okay, so as we're considering these, we need to be reflecting on this in our today. I mean, we don't have banquets where we have the triclinium seat or the triclinium table. But what might this look like today for us, right now?
My dad used to use this example when I was younger, and me and my siblings would fight over the front seat in the car. He'd say shotgun, and you know, whoever would get to be in the front seat, he'd say, "Why do you want the front seat?" I'm like, "Well, because it's fun, and it's you know, it's a great place to be, and we get to sit next to you." And he's like, "So is that a seat of honor that you need to give up for someone else?" I didn't like this story very much.
That's good. That's really good. Okay.
Probably the most practical application.
I know. I love that. It's good. Does anybody else have a way that it applies today?
I think like in like a high school or just like in just like a high school or college set, like just like the tables, like which table you sit at and like mm-hmm. with what group you sit with and like mm-hmm. who the people like you associate and like and even what you eat, like, oh, that person's having like a tuna sandwich. Well, here, I'm having my little chicken patty sandwich, which is like 10 times better. Like, I feel like it's not so much like the place of the table, but it's more of like what you're now eating and who you're now like surrounding yourself with.
It's the attitude. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's important.
What I was thinking of is, you know, most ministries today have banquets mm-hmm. and they do. It's a fundraiser, mm-hmm. but it's usually you want, you know, certain type of people, and there's certain people in our community that everybody wants at their banquet. You know, it's just, it's not like this where they're going to just go out and, you know, pay for, you know, just people on the street to come into their banquet. So that's what I was thinking when you started with this one.
At my church in Houston, our preschool minister, Marion Jane, she was kind of like my Paul. I was her Timothy. And Vacation Bible School is usually set up for all the kids within the church, but then they always want them to do mm-hmm. where they're bringing other children in. Mm-hmm. And she said, you know, we could trust that our students are going to do that, but we're going to take it a step further. We're going to send it out to all the daycares mm-hmm. in our mm-hmm. area and invite them to bring their children from the daycare. It'll minister to the teachers in the daycare because it'll give them a 3-hour to 4-hour break of having to watch their kids. Wow. and then it will give us an opportunity to reach kids we would not have reached. Right. Everybody freaked out. You can't do that. They're going to show that we're not going to have the manpower. We're going to have the people. We're not going to have the supplies. And she's like, I really believe this is what God wants us to do. This is our way of reaching those that cannot pay us back for what we're about to do. And so she did this. And only one daycare follows through with it. So God took care of, because, you know, why would we bring our kids to, you know, only one did. But they brought like 20-something kids in that would never have been in our church walls. And a few weeks afterwards, this little girl kept telling her parents, I want to go back to the big red carpet. And they are like, what big red carpet? They had no idea. She just wanted the big red carpet. And they couldn't figure out what she was talking about. And so they asked the daycare, do you guys have any room that has big red carpet? And they're like, no. And they go, oh, wait. The church we went to that week that we got your permission slips for a field trip for Vacation Bible School, they had carpet that was red. Those parents came to our church and found our preschool minister and told us, we're here because our daughter wanted to be in the big red carpet. Awesome. Marion ended up sharing Christ with them, and they ended up coming to know the Lord. Wow. It was the most amazing thing. And it makes me want to cry to this day because it was such a testimony to us that we're invited our church family. We're inviting, and we're filled up with them. And our church in Houston, you're talking, we could have 1,200 kids in a Vacation Bible School. It was not tiny. And it was just one of those, she knew God told her this was who we were supposed to be inviting because they can't pay us back. Right. And God gave her a greater reward in seeing an entire family come to know Christ. Wow. Incredible. We have to be asking ourselves in situations, who is it that is our people that we should be including? Mm-hmm. And I'm going to embarrass Catherine, and that she one time and I were talking about how at lunchtime, along with what Jessica was just saying, who should we be sitting with? I'm very intentional in making sure I sit with different peoples and making sure that we're including others. There are so many ways that it may not be a banquet, a dinner, but in a room where somebody's alone, include them in a conversation, recognizing and pulling people in, and not seeking to be up front with the biggies, and being willing to go and connect with those that may have nobody that will connect with them.
Yeah, just at church, there's somebody sitting alone.
Yes, going and being their friend. Mm-hmm. And so we just like to encourage you to do that today. Find a place where you can minister to somebody and encourage them that way. And we just thank you so much for listening to Cultivating Hearts. We just want to thank the donors that provide this opportunity. And we just want to say God bless you.